Good afternoon, you're listening to CRI 104 FM. Every now and again you come across wonderful people, inspirational people, people with an amazing story. And here's a story we thought we'd share with you, the listeners. It is absolutely amazing, fantastic, and just goes to show what love does, that overcomes all boundaries. I'm joined in the studio by Jack and Leo Nulty. Jack is from Dundrum and Leo is now living in Clane in Kildare. Jack, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for coming in and sharing a wonderful story.
Oh, any time.
And Leo, good afternoon to you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for coming in, lads. You have an amazing story. Way back in July 1962.
Yes.
You were you had a couple of associates. They were salesmen, technical salespeople,
yes.
And you were going around with them.
I was on holiday. I worked in England, and I was on holidays here.
Okay.
And I met the two of them, and they were doing a tour of Munster.
Okay.
And in the evenings, then we would head off to a local dance somewhere. So we wound up here. The Chubby Checker was playing in Yall.
Okay.
We headed for Yall for what, the Red Barn, the day
okay,
it was called.
Yeah.
And that's where I met Sheila, my future wife.
Okay, so just pause that a second now. So you have these lads who are technical salespeople. What did you work at yourself at that time?
I was a draftsman, engineering draftsman.
Okay, so we had two salespeople and a draftsman.
Yes.
Heading down to Yall on a romantic rendezvous.
That's right.
Did you knowingly go to Red Barn that night knowing that you were going to find love?
No, of course not.
No? You're not going to admit it
now? Well, in the usual casual way,
yeah,
going
yeah.
to a dad's.
You didn't put
in
an extra.
In those days, the ladies used to be on one side and the
That's
men
right.
on the other at the dances. So
there was no extra shine on the shoes or anything? Or
well, there might have been, but nobody would notice then.
Okay, right. So along you go to Red Barn, and of course, those times there would have been very little drinking or anything. It was about the dancing, wasn't it?
That's right. There were no drinking allowed in the dance halls.
Okay. So July 1962, you go along to the Red Barn, down
yes.
to the dance hall there. Chubby Checker was performing on stage,
right,
and you were
yes.
performing on the floor, weren't you? Tell us the story. You were in there with your friends.
We were in there with our friends, and I saw this girl, and I asked her to dance, and we were talking, and she said she was from Cork. She was a teacher from Bohobwy, County
down,
Cork,
yeah.
Which is near Mallow.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another, and I asked her to marry me on the spot.
On the night?
Yes.
On the dance hall?
And she said, go ahead with that. And words to that effect. But we wrote to each other after that, and eventually we got married.
Okay. Yes. But before you got married, there was a period of 18 months.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I was looking for a job at home.
I bet you were.
And jobs weren't easy to come
okay.
by then.
Right.
So eventually, the point is I got more work experience in England. So
okay.
eventually I got a job at home.
So July 1962, we're going to find the definitive date, the exact date. But July 1962, you're in the dance hall in Red Barn in Yall, and
yes.
you see this wonderful woman, this beautiful woman.
Yes.
And like, was it your
she
first
was,
time?
She was beautiful.
I'm not disputing it for a second.
Yes.
Was it your first time going to a dance?
No.
So you had been to
dancing for years.
And like every woman you met previous to that, did you ask them to marry you?
I didn't ask a single one.
What was special about Sheila?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, who knows? She just clicked.
You just knew there and then this
yes,
was the woman
right.
for you. And there was no like, hi, I'm Jack from Dundrum.
No, I had already talked that through. We'd already had a cup of tea. We couldn't have anything else at a dance in those days.
Okay.
And we had a cup of tea together, for which we sat down at a table. And this is beginning to get real at this stage.
Okay.
So I asked her to marry me then.
Even before you asked her out, you asked her, right?
No, we've already been dancing. And
all
we're
right.
together in the dance at this stage.
Okay.
There was a... What was odd about it? Oh, there was no seats. Seats were all booked up and tables were all booked. You could book a table
yeah,
and a
yeah,
chair
yeah,
in those
yeah,
days,
yeah.
and they were all booked up. So, first of all, we never came across this before, and we decided, well, we'd have to stand at the dance as we did everywhere else.
Okay.
And so one thing led to another, and she all smiles and said goodbye and said we'd write to each other. And so we did.
You see, you're very evasive. You love saying one thing led to another. Let's go back into what led to another thing now. Like, I mean, you're at a dance hall, you meet this beautiful, vivacious woman, you fall in love with her, you know that she's the right woman for you. Most of the time those days, like, you went with your two friends who were sales reps, right?
Yes.
Sheila, was she there with family or friends, or who was she there with?
Yes, she had one friend with her. Maura was the name.
Okay.
I'm not sure Maura.
And what do you think was Maura's reaction when she went back and told her, I met this man out in the dance hall and he asked me to marry her?
Shinkesh.
Shinkesh.
Yeah.
And what did you say to your lads? What did your two friends think of you when you told them?
I didn't tell them at that stage.
You kept it an inner secret.
Well, yes. And like, she had to say yes, so we weren't committed at that stage.
Okay. Yeah. Did you, when you parted that night, did you know that she was going to say yes eventually?
No, I didn't.
No?
No, we just began to write letters to each other.
Okay. The following weekend, is it, or what? Or?
No, Sheila eventually left Bohobwy and came up to work in Dundalk.
All right.
Actually, she worked at a, can't remember the name of the school. It was actually on the border. And if something came up, they wouldn't know whether they would ring the RUC or the Garda Síochána.
Oh, right.
They were right on the border.
Right on the border, yeah.
There, and it wasn't the best place to be.
Okay.
There, so we had a hire car for a week, which we went around, had a look at Dundalk and Greenore and Port Castle Bellingham and the other places there.
And tell me, you know, at what stage did you get Sheila's address that you were able to write to her? Did you get it that night?
Oh, I got it that night, yes. We agreed to write to each other.
Was that the new kind of way of dating at that time, or was that the done thing at that time?
I don't know.
Like, did you get any other?
I was working in England. I was out of touch.
Look, let me put it another way. Your previous dances, I mean, you met previous women, did you ask them for their addresses?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
I think we'll bring Leo in at this stage and we'll give you a break. We're after being interrogated enough. Leo, thanks for popping in, first of all, because you just called in off the street. You see the radio sign outside and you thought it was a lovely story, and a lovely story it is. Are you, like, do you have thoughts or ambitions, I suppose, of being half the rogue that your father ever was?
Well, I don't know. We grew up with this story. You know, as kids, we thought it was highly entertaining. And Dad used to tell us that he proposed on the first night. And then my mum used to say, sure, I roared laughing at him.
Okay.
And then we have a photo, which I'll give you to put up on the Facebook page, of the two of them on the night, black and white photo.
Yeah.
And she told us, she always used to tell us that, she asked Jack, why are you getting a photo taken of us? And he said, because I'll post it to you. And you'll have to write back. So
really?
that's how it worked, yeah. I did have a good chat. Dad and myself and my sister Paula, who lives in the UK, have a great bond now. Yeah. Mum's passed away a year ago, but I asked Dad at one stage, was it a chat-up line? The proposal on the first night, you know?
Okay.
And he says he only tried it once and it worked. So I don't know whether it was a chat-up line or not.
So you tried it once, it was successful.
That's right, yes.
And, so you got her address, you start writing. Like, we won't ask the content of the letters because it's a family show, but, like, you start acquainting more or by, in the form of sending letters and everything.
You know, this was all prim and proper.
Prim and proper.
You could have shown this letters to anybody.
And when you sent the first letters, remember Elvis Presley returned to sender. When you sent the first letter, did you have to put your forwarding address or your return to?
Of course I did.
If undelivered, please return to.
No, it was the address was written at the top of the envelope.
So she would have known it was your letter.
Oh yes.
And about say, how fast did she reply to your letter?
I don't know, but it wasn't a problem. I don't think it was a problem anyway. So we started writing letters to each other then.
Okay.
And I think Sheila kept them for a while. I didn't. And eventually I got a job back in Ireland.
Okay.
In Dundalk. And Sheila left her job in Cork and came up as a teacher in, I can't remember the name of the place, but it was on the border.
Okay.
Right on the border. And so we only had the rented car for a week, After that, it was no car, so we... how did we work out then? No, Sheila got a job in Dublin then.
Okay.
A teacher's job. Right. And teachers could change jobs without losing the perks or anything
right,
like
okay,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we lived in Dundalk for a while in 22 Seaview Place, or Sea Something Place,
okay,
in Dundalk. And I remember there was a big laundry in front of the place where we were staying. It turned out to be a Magdalene laundry, as the story unfolded.
Right.
And I don't know what happened to the thing, but they never paid any tax or insurance or anything on the employees.
Okay.
They had no stamps to get employment, unemployment pay and that. But anyway, that was all. That only emerged while we were still there. We were finding out about this glorious convent that was there and what went on inside it. That news broke sometime in the 60s.
That's right.
And where do we go from there? Well, then Sheila got a job in Dublin, and I was already working. No, I got a job at home also in Dublin. So we started to... people didn't live together in those days.
No.
So we were in separate digs for a while, and then we got engaged and got married.
And that was all in the space of 18 months?
No, not as quickly as that, no. Sheila would never have agreed as quickly as that. She was a very cautious person.
Okay.
And she...
So you... Just to let our listeners know, you meet her in July 1962 down in Youghal.
Yeah.
You get her address, you write to her. You get a job over in England, so you hightail it to England.
I was already working in England.
Oh, you were already working.
I was home on holidays.
Okay, right. Yeah. And you maintained the relationship via writing, right?
Yes.
And then she gets a job in Dublin, you get a job in Dublin.
Yes. No, Sheila actually got a job in on the border, north of Dundalk.
Oh, yeah.
Between Dundalk and Uri.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was working in Dundalk at the time.
Okay.
In the, it was the old railway works. Dundalk used to have the GNR railway works.
That's right.
And then when the border was put up, half of them moved to the north of the border, and the railway works closed up there in Dundalk.
Okay.
And so it was called Dundalk Engineering at the time, and I got a job there.
Okay. And what year did you get married?
Well, I can't remember.
1964, I think.
Hmm?
64, I think. Paula was born. My sister was born in late 66.
Be careful now, this could be incriminating.
I have the calculator out of my phone here when I'm talking to you. No, Paula was born in 66.
Okay.
I'm in 68.
Yeah.
So you reckon about 64-ish, you got married. Did you invite your two friends that you went to the dance with?
Well, guess who wouldn't allow them?
Sheila.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why was that?
Because they were already married, I think, at the time. Yeah.
Oh, but she wouldn't allow them go to the wedding because they were married.
Yeah, she was.
Was that a thing that time?
Well, it must have been.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have done it.
Okay. And we see a lovely photograph of the day, your special day in 1964 when you got married. And that'll be up on our Facebook page as well. Would you do it all again?
Yes, exactly again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You wouldn't bother with Twitter or Facebook or...
I never heard of these. I don't know how to use them anyway.
Yeah.
Don't know how to use Facebook.
Yeah. Well, you certainly kept Posts and Telegraphs going in there, didn't you, with all your letters? You kept the postman busy. And was there special letters sent in on Valentine's Day and Christmas and birthdays, or was it just your standard mails?
No, I wasn't much into dates at that stage.
You were just...
We just wrote letters and replied.
Yeah. And would you talk about, without going into too much detail, would you talk about, you know, like... the weather? Would you talk about your feelings? Would you talk about, you know, at the end of the letter?
Know the answer to those questions.
Was there lots of X's at the end of the letter?
There was. Well, eventually then we got phones in the house. See, we didn't know the phones then.
Okay, right.
We got phones in the house. We got a phone in Drogheda, and I was able to ring her then.
Oh, God.
but previous arrangements so that she would have to be near the phone at a time. What was the name of the guy in
Dinny Phil, wasn't it?
Dinny Phil, yeah. And he had a shop and it had a telephone.
Okay.
And if I rang for Sheila, the number she gave me,
yeah,
he'd leave the phone there to go running up the road and get Sheila. He lived about 10 doors up the road.
And you were married in 1964. You had two kids. You had two children, Leo and
Paula.
Paula. And happy out for Sheila, unfortunately, took ill about 10 years ago, was it?
That's right. She got Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And faded slowly.
A gradual
decline.
Yeah. That must have been rough on you, was it?
Yes, yeah, it was rough on all of the family at the time.
Okay.
But it happened very slowly. She faded.
Okay.
No, there was no accident, not a fall or anything.
Yeah.
Like she walked into the home she was in there, admired it, said it was a nice place.
Okay.
And gradually faded away then.
I suppose it left a big gap initially because she ran the house like a classroom to a certain way. We were all a bit, I wouldn't say we were afraid of her, we were all wary of her, you know, she made the rules.
Were you students?
We had a couple of folk at home and that sort of stuff, you know, and education was hugely important.
Okay.
But I mean, thinking back, she was great. We got a chance to tell her that towards the end, but when you're your kids, you don't appreciate it, you know.
Yeah.
But good times.
But she left her mark. Like the curtains in the house are still picked by Sheila for
Corinth. And you still live in the same house that you bought with Sheila. When you bought the house in Dundrum, like, what kind of money would you pay for a house in Dundrum that time?
Oh, I don't know, about $3,500, I think.
You wouldn't buy a door for a house now?
No, it wouldn't, but it would then, and it was difficult to get loans. There was there used to be a ban on loans for a while when they... You'd hear about recessions and that. But Sheila and I both had government jobs, so we knew we'd get a loan anyway.
Okay.
So she was off at 2:30. I worked at 5:30. So Sheila could go around on the buses to the show houses in South Dublin. And she picked the house and we bought it. It's only by luck that number 18 came up.
Okay. What is it like to be living there now? Like
we hit lucky. Dundrum Shopping Centre has been built beside us.
All right.
And it's added to the value of the house and the convenience too.
Okay.
And we've got a row of restaurants there.
It's great. It's great life for Dad. And I spend every Thursday night with Dad. I come up and you could throw a stone from Dad's house and hit Jamie Oliver's restaurant or the theatre.
Yeah.
So we use the theatre quite a lot, which is great. A lot of amateur dramatics. Stuff we never thought we'd do together, but we've a great crack.
Yeah.
And loads of stuff going on, you know.
And yourself and Paula, he grew up and matured into a young man and a young woman. Like, what did you do the conventional dating scene? Or
is this my turn for cross examination? Yeah.
You didn't do the same as your father.
No, I'm not married. My sister is married and has two kids, and she comes over here quite a lot. And she's recently bought a house on the west coast
of Ireland.
So we've been out there. The three of us have been out there. And had great times.
And you're in Yall for a special. Well, I suppose it's not a special. It's a sad commemoration today.
No, we've been talking about it on and off for ages.
Okay.
There were a few other places we had to go to. So you all came up and it was the farthest away.
Okay.
It was a good spin down, but we've always said we'd come to y'all and we're delighted. Like, we were in great form all the way down this morning and we went up and down through the town. And actually, if I can give someone a quick name check, Dad is diabetic and we were that excited. We forgot all his medical gear and we went straight to Lloyd's Pharmacy here on the main street. And they contacted Dad's doctor and his pharmacist and they got all his, within half an hour, so they were absolutely brilliant. We just stopped outside and went in. Couldn't be better. They were so nice. Thanks very much because... we're staying in the Walter Raleigh tonight and we're going to have a few drinks and mum's honour. But it's Dad that it's not really sad. It's something we always wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I hope when they gave him his medication, he didn't get any phone numbers or addresses.
Well, I don't know. He's a fast mover. He might. I'm sure it's only early. The night is only a pump, as they say.
That's true. Yeah.
But listen, thanks for dropping in. And we'll say a prayer for Sheila tomorrow. Friday is her anniversary.
It is.
Friday the, what is it, the 17th?
Yeah.
17th of, and she's only 12 months gone, so it's still raw, isn't it? So we'll remember her with fondness. I'm sure you will give her a good honour tonight, will you?
Oh, we will, yeah.
Good
of course.
Send off, yes,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lads, it's an amazing story. Thanks for dropping in, and it's wonderful. And Leo, well done on spotting the radio.
Well, you've got Branley. I couldn't, but you know, I went by. And, by the way, it's a lovely radio station you have, and everybody's smiling when we come in. Yeah, it's a nice place to be.
Yeah. They'd be all running from him now. All the females be running from him.
I don't know whether it's away or towards him. They'd be running.
Yes.
Jack, thanks for sharing your story with us. And
anytime.
Well done on what was obviously a great decision. Your instinct kicked in and you decided that this was for you.
Yes.
And, as a teacher, did she ever keep you back after school?
That's Shenkesh.
I forgot it's a family show. Jack and Leo Nulty, all the way down from, well, Dundrum and Clane and County Kildare, welcome to CRY. It's been an absolute blast, lads. I enjoyed it. Thanks for dropping in and sharing your wonderful story to us.
Thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you again soon. All right?
Yes.
Cheers, thanks. What a lovely couple there. Jack and his son, Leo Nulty. Hope you enjoyed that chat and we'll talk to you soon.